Welcome to the latest edition of the Carmichael Governance Podcast. I'm Dermot O'Kerbui, CEO of Carmichael. Carmichael is a charity that provides supports to other Irish charities, particularly in the area of governance. You can find details of what we do and a wide range of free resources on our website, that's carmichaelireland.ie. You can also find previous editions of our governance podcast on our website or on your favourite podcast platform, be that Apple, Spotify, Acast. The eagle-eyed amongst you will notice that there is no shortlist for Category 1. The assessors deemed that only one organisation was of a sufficient standard to be shortlisted. So we have a shortlist of one in Category 1. And that is a bit disappointing because Category 1 is for organisations under 100,000. That's about 40% of the sector. So that's where most charities, non-profits live, in that sort of space, less than 100,000. And I do understand, and we do appreciate, small organisations have tremendous challenges. But I would ask them to think about your annual report as a means of communicating to your stakeholders, to reaching out and explaining what you do in your communities, the fantastic work that you do. We provide supports, there is training, there's templates. And if you enter, and that's what we keep saying, that if you do enter, you will get some feedback to help you to design your annual report. And so I'm calling to all those small organisations out there, think about it, because, you know, it will help improve your organisation communication. It helps you, to tell your story about who you are, what you're doing, and as Roisin was saying, the impact that you are making in your communities, because there are so many fantastic stories, and I meet them every day, organisations that are in this category. But we are struggling since the beginning of the awards. This has been the category that gets the least number of entries. And it's one that we really would like to see more. And I remember last year putting out an appeal to see what can we do. And I repeat that appeal. We got some suggestions of maybe mentoring. We will follow up. We didn't move as fast on that this year, but some organisations that are good at writing annual reports to say, look, we wouldn't mind sponsoring or helping another organisation that wants to improve their annual report, because sometimes it's you don't know where to start or what to do, or you say, I don't have the time to write your annual report. But so again, we would like next year to break the sort of pattern of poor entries to the Category 1. But having said that, as not to take from the one organisation that has been shortlisted, a quote from the assessor: this is a very good report. The organisation is to be commended on the quality, transparency and clarity of their annual report for 22-23. This report clearly demonstrates that this is a quality-led, innovative organisation with a deep commitment to the well-being of their volunteers, as well as improving the service that it provides itself. There are some minor comments that I've made and are made only to how the report could be improved. For example, the governance section could be improved by detailing the relationships between the Board of Trustees and the committee. In addition, while the strategic plan is clearly described at a glance section, which is an excellent description of the plan, the organisation could usefully summarise or present graphically the annual work plan, setting out the achievements against the overall strategic plan. This is an excellent report, and this report is from an organisation that is a volunteer-only organisation. So again, a very, very high-quality report. So it can be done. It can be seen as an exemplar for other organisations to say, yes, it can be done. And I want to announce the winner of Category 1, Nightline.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tom Courtney. I'm one of the three judges on panel two with Philip Smith and Laura Redmond. Category two is for charities which have an annual income of between €100,000 and €250,000, which is a modest income in today's world. That said, all three of our finalists, Kilkenny Volunteer Centre CLG, Laois Volunteer Centre CLG, Sea Beyond Borders Ireland CLG, have punched well above their weight in the production and, most importantly, the content of their annual reports for 2022. Some general observations from our panel. First of all, sincere congratulations to all of the finalists on the quality of their report. To appear on the shortlist, the reports have had to pass the technical tests and are then qualitatively scored. All sections of the reports were regarded as being at the required level or stronger, which is a testament to the effort put in by these organisations and their report contributors. The winner was felt by all of the judges to be of a standard generally expected of a much larger organisation, making this really quite a tough category this year. So what made a stronger report? Well, they were clearer and they were more comprehensive in communicating their activity and how it linked to their strategic goals. All of the reports in this category had clear statements of their mission, vision and values, and the stronger ones linked their objectives to the mission and their activities and strategic goals to their objectives. All of the finalists entered last year, and in all cases the reports achieved higher rankings against the judging criteria, and I think that really is something that for which they should be commended. One governance point which we observed, which I think could be improved across the board, is disclosing whether the directors of the companies and the members of the companies in the company law sense of that term are one and the same people. Because that can have implications for governance, since if the directors are the members, then one of the natural safeguards is absent. So that might just be something that could be borne in mind for the future. And so to the winner. The panel were unanimous in deciding that the clear winner in this category is the Kilkenny Volunteer Centre. Our decision was based on a number of key points. I'm not quite rid of me yet, but I think it'll be worth waiting for, because it's all nice things I'm going to say. The respective reports of the chair and the centre manager are reflective of the appropriate dynamic between the roles of board and executive, strategic and operational. There was a real understanding of the natural demarcation between the functions of the board, represented by the chair, and the functions of the executive, led by the centre manager. Both statements showed to us that the chair and the centre manager were very clear on their functions. And this is one of the most important and fundamental precepts of good governance. The financial review is very informative, it's open, transparent, and nicely articulates in words the financial statements. It's a visually pleasing report with a good mix of text, graphics, tables, photos, and testimonial quotes. The strong format and layout that is applied consistently throughout the report makes it easy to read. The level of detail provided in the governance section, and in particularly board rotation and succession planning, demonstrates the forward thinking of the organisation, as does the detail regarding the end of year survey. As I said, for a small charity, the judges felt that this annual report punches significantly above its weight. Commiserations to the runners-up. Both Laois Volunteer Centre and Sea Beyond Borders Ireland should be proud of their achievements in making it to the final shortlist. And remember, there's always next year. Congratulations again to Kilkenny Volunteer and to the board and its chair, Margaret Whelan, and its staff, led by Selena Grace, the centre manager.
Good evening, Senator, fellow volunteer trustees, and of course, fellow judges. Travelling up from Kerry to this, it feels like an annual pilgrimage. And the reason why we do it, and the reason why I do it, and sometimes even run in heels to be here tonight, is because tonight is important. It is really special, and it is a unique opportunity for us to collectively recognise the valour and to commend the steadfastness of the stewardship exercised by you, the volunteer trustees, the volunteers, the employees and the staff of the not-for-profit sector in Ireland. It is incredible. And as Senator Tom alluded to earlier, it is really important that we take this time. And I'm so glad that we have come together from the four great provinces of Ireland to take this opportunity to do that. The Category 3 finalists inspired us. Yes, there was many pages to read for Fergal, Sarah and I, but they were well worth reading. Because what they testify to is that which we as judges and you, the advocates, supporters and fans of good governance in Ireland, is that they denote and they explicitly explain the rewards, the demands and the challenges that it is required to do good governance. And we know that as the custodians and as the cultural architects for governance in our organisations, it can be challenging. And that is why it has been a delight for all of us as judges, and particularly to be involved in the Good Governance Awards from their inception, and to champion Diarmaid's cause, because tonight is one of those unique opportunities. And what Senator Tom alluded to earlier has become an ever-increasing crazy and maybe disillusioning world, to take the time to come together to really celebrate, either earlier upstairs or shoulder to shoulder with the person sitting next to you, when we applaud loudly and before we leave tonight, to be able to really take time to value one another. And also, it would be amiss of me as a judge, and on behalf of my other judges, fellow judges, Sarah and Fergal, not to take the opportunity to maybe outline the ask that good governance puts on and calls of us as trustees and custodians and cultural architects of community and voluntary organisations in the not-for-profit sector. The calls of good governance are not easy. They're loud, yet they are appropriate. We know, and it's important that we take time to realise that as judging and in the Good Governance Awards, that good governance calls for vigilance. It calls for leadership, but as Senator Tom alluded to earlier, it's not just any type of leadership. It's ethical, moral, I would say informed, and particularly shared leadership. It doesn't require us just to strategically plan. It requires us and asks of us and calls of us to smartly plan. It requires us to agree, to define, to formalise our risk, and at every meeting and at every opportunity to review and to mitigate those risks. It calls on us to discern and be appropriate in our allocation and our management of our resources, both human and physical and financial. It calls on us to be transparent. And the favourite amongst all volunteer trustees, it calls us to participate, to define and to actively pursue succession planning. And I know that's not an easy one, but it does more than that. And in particular, as finalists and as judges, when we are looking at good governance, when we are reviewing whether you've answered the many calls that good governance has on you, and our criteria as good governance judges is checking and seeing, have you embraced the opportunity to do a multi-annual analysis of your outcomes, your outputs, simply beyond listing your KPIs? And the reason why we want you to do that, the reason why we're keen and, dare I say, passionate about you doing that multi-annual analysis, is not only to enable you and facilitate you, as our shortlist applicants have done, to plan strategically, but what we need as charities, as not-for-profit organisations, is to be able to pivot proportionally to the opportunities that are presented to us, but also to respond appropriately to the unexpected that happen throughout the year. Good governance and the cause of good governance are challenging. They're demanding. And as judges, when we were reviewing Spree Agus Sport, when we were reviewing the Care Alliance of Ireland, when we were reviewing Breaking Through, and when we were reviewing Irish Development Education Association, we couldn't help but commend the palpable feeling of and commitment to your mission, to your purpose. And unlike maybe the previous category winner, your annual report stood shoulder to shoulder. It wasn't easy to pick an overall winner. We were tasked with doing it, and we fulfilled our task, and there is a winner, and I will gladly share with you who the winner is in a moment, okay? But before I do that, again, I just want to thank the technical assessors who volunteered before us as judges. I want to thank the dynamic duo of Roisin and Diarmaid for what it is that they do. And I suppose, most sincerely, I'd like to thank my fellow judges, Fergal and Sarah, for the commitment, the time and the effort, and for the discussions that we had in choosing the winner. And the winner of Category 3 have come all the way from the Inishowen Peninsula in County Donegal, Spree Agus Sport.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Gerry Egan, and my fellow judges in this category were Anya Myler and Nina Arvitz. There were five charities shortlisted in this category. And what we found, I guess, was that most of the reports in this category did a really good job of explaining the mission or purpose of the organisation, identifying the strategic objectives, reporting progress, the things that I suppose we would expect at this level. And they did this through a kind of a combination of activity reports, specifying targets with the related KPIs. And they backed them up then really well with case studies, with personal stories or testimonials that brought the data to life. And what we also found was that the best reports also combined the activity reports seamlessly with the financial statements, which is not always, as we know, the case. All of the reports speaking to that theme, all of those reports were unified reports. So meaning that not only were the activity report and the financial statements presented in a single document, rather than the financial statements being presented separately, which certainly was a feature of previous years in my experience, but they also felt like parts of the same document. They felt like two parts of the same story, which is not always the case. And I know it certainly has been a bugbear for me in the past, and I know for other people as well. In the best of these reports, we also saw really good descriptions of governance arrangements, including trustee responsibilities being articulated very well, and the biographies of the trustees, how the boards and the committees operate in practice, and to a greater or lesser extent, then how the charity manages risk. We also saw really good use of design, including reports that were professionally designed, but also in the case of one report, while it was laid out quite simply, it actually demonstrated that with the simple use of colour, you could break up the text and just kind of tell the story in a way that was much better. So this report, for example, used extracts from spreadsheets, you know, very simply, but by simple use of colour, it kind of brought the data to life. So it was a very efficient way of kind of communicating what they wanted to do. And one of the key takeaways for us was that in an era where there are so many design tools that are available for free, we don't have to spend a fortune to improve the design of our reports, and that there's an opportunity for organisations to substantially improve the design and the presentation without much additional effort and at little extra cost. So I think it's something for people to think about. There were a few things that we thought could have been done better. A particular thing was organisations wanting to demonstrate the impact of their work. And that's what everybody wants to do, because that's why organisations exist. And then at the same time, we saw quite a bit of confusion between outputs and outcomes and impacts, and terms being used interchangeably. And for those of you who have to do kind of impact reports, we know that those things, they don't mean the same thing. Being really kind of clear about that. We were also surprised that in the area of risk management, okay, there were very few references to cybersecurity risk. It's a feature for every organization, yet it wasn't as prominent maybe as it might have been. And also, given the growing importance of themes like climate and ESG and sustainability, I think it's time we began to see some of those things kind of coming through a little bit more, and not just about financial sustainability, but the other dimensions of sustainability as well. Again, a personal thing for me is that, of course, we all want to put our best foot forward. Okay, that's partly what annual reports and so on are for. But I personally kind of feel that we all know that everything doesn't always go according to plan. And it adds kind of great credibility to your report if you talk about disappointments, or if you talk about things you had to do differently, or things you had hoped to do and it didn't work for whatever reason. So not just all about all the fantastic things that we did, but here were a few things that didn't work, and here are some lessons that we learned, and here are things that we're going to do kind of better from now on. But of course, there can only be one winner. So in relation to the winning report, we really appreciated the quality of storytelling. The organisation, it was very easy to kind of trace a line from the organisation's purpose through its strategic objectives to its achievements in 2022. The governance arrangements were also really well described, and all of the accessible content was paired with a very attractive design. And in the words of one of my colleagues, anyone reading this report, be they a member of the public, a donor or a funder, would have a very clear picture of the purpose of the organisation and how it's delivered. And the winner is Leave No Trace.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Bill Cunningham, and I chair the Category 5 panel. We work together with Jane Ann McKenna and Tom Costello. I have to say that the quality of the five reports that you see listed up on the screen there was really top class. They all reached a very high standard, and the differences were actually, you know, the thinnest of margins, which of course made choosing a winner very, very difficult, but we managed to do it in the end. I think each of the reports that we reviewed had a very clear statement of what the mission was, what the values of the organisation was, and how they carried them into action, and indeed what the impacts that were made. So I suppose taking some of the comments that we made on the previous reports, I think as you move up towards the size of the organisation, you begin to see, you know, they become more, you see more of these things appearing. I think we did see a much improved reporting on sustainability and the environment at this level. Pretty well all of the reports had very good reports on how they treated the sustainable nature of their activities and what impact they had on the environment. I think one thing we felt, we saw it in one or two of the reports, one thing we felt could be done is where people are talking about their investment priorities and how they actually invest the money that they have, that they could actually take their approach to sustainability and the environment into how they ethically invest. You know, because clearly a lot of organisations have money to invest, and they should apply an ethical policy in those investments. And I think stating that and describing how they do it would actually be an improvement. I think we saw a very high standard of corporate governance reporting at this level. I think pretty well all of the boxes would have been ticked. I think probably an area where people maybe could have said a little bit more was in the way they selected trustees, how they went about choosing trustees, and how they applied particularly the diversity policy, that they all, you know, had diversity policies, but how that translated into the actual trustees and maybe some of the subcommittees that they had. Looking on the other side of it then, we did feel, and it's something which I think a number of people have commented on, there's so much in these reports. I mean, pretty well each of the reports that we reviewed were 100 pages long, so there's an awful lot in there. And there are various elements within that those reports. There's a statement by the chairman, a statement by the chief executive. There's the body of the report itself. There's the trustee report. There's the director's report. And there's the financial statements. And having to go through all of these, there's a tendency to repeat. And I think maybe in sitting down and deciding how you're going to get your message across and how you're actually going to tell the story, it would be good to plan out, you know, how you're actually going to deliver this within each of those elements, and particularly as between the chairman's statement and the CEO's statement, having the chairman focus maybe on the strategic objectives and development of the organisation, and the CEO maybe looking more at the operational side of things would be one way of going about it. And again, all of the reports that we saw had a very good balance of graphics and stories, storytelling, and describing how the impact they had on the people with whom they served. But sometimes those stories actually got in the way of telling the story, if you know what I mean. You know, there's a balance between actually having a lot of impact statements in the body of the report and actually getting the message across. Sometimes you're trying to hop between one thing and another. So maybe just being careful about how you use those statements would improve the flow of the report. I think it's been mentioned before, but you know, a lot of great temptation is to report on the activity during the year, but not necessarily to relate that activity to what the KPIs are, or to what the previous years have been, or indeed what the strategic goals of the organisation are. So making sure there's a clear drag through, if you like, of reporting between what happened in the past, what has happened this year, and what you actually intend to happen would be helpful. I think one other thing we saw in a couple of the reports, which I think would be useful to think about, is each of the charities operate in a particular environment or a particular policy environment, and maybe discussing how that particular charity relates to the environment within which it operates, or the policy environment within which it operates, rather than just the charity itself, but how it relates to the outside world could also be helpful. And I think basically that sort of there's a lot of maybe negatives in that, but then I'm an accountant after all, so accountants tend to be negative. And worse still, I was an auditor, which even makes it worse. Having said all of that, we did pick a winner. And I have to say, as you'll expect, the winner ticked all the positives, or most of the positives, and didn't fall foul of too many of the negatives. I think in particularly we felt that there was a really good distinction made within the report between what was said in the chairman's statement and what was said in the CEO's report, which got the key issues across and got the key things that the charity was doing across. We felt there was a very good balance achieved in this particular report of the graphics, the stories and the information about the charity. The charity also was very good at identifying the risks that it faced. I think it identified the top 10 risks, but not just the risks that it faced, but how it mitigated those risks. You know, and again, it's a thing which I think is it's easy to say what your risks are. It's harder to say how you're actually dealing with those risks. And again, going back to what I said about reporting against criteria, reporting against the last 5 years, reporting against KPIs, reporting against what your strategic goals are, I think this particular charity did that extremely well. So having taken all that into account, the winner of this category is Barrettstown.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Donico Moura. I had the pleasure, alongside Katie Cadden, David Hickson and Rhea Walsh, to judge Category 6 of this year's awards. Our shortlisted entrants were Barnardo's, Jigsaw, Laura Lynn, Mission Cara and Oxfam Ireland. I have to say, I was in Kerry over midterm and I had a week off work, and I was a little bit jealous of my family as they curled up in front of the fire, and I was faced with the daunting task of getting stuck into the 5 annual reports in front of me. But to be honest, not long after I turned the first page of that first report, I really remembered what a privilege it is to read these reports and to get a sense of the amazing work that they do, and indeed the incredible, you know, operating organisations and amazing governance structures that they all have. The standard was exceptional, and I think a number of the things that stood out to us really was the vibrant and engaging documents that were presented, that balanced the important narrative with a clear sense of the history, mission, vision and values of the organisation. The infographics and imagery brought key points to life, and some of the organisations provided videos and hyperlinks to delve further if you wish to do so. We saw sustainability really come to the fore, perhaps more than ever, as organisations focused their efforts in this regard, with some framing their overall strategy and operations in the context of the United Nations Sustainability Development Goals, or Sustainable Development Goals, I should say, and that was really insightful from our perspective. We also saw organisations reporting on the gender pay gap for the first time and its impact on them. And what was particularly interesting and I think refreshing in that regard was that some of the organisations that actually weren't legally required to publish a gender pay gap report chose to provide the same information. The bar was high. There were a few areas for improvement, and maybe we're nitpicking a little bit at times. But on the point of risk, you know, I think concerns around funding were notable from all of the organisations, or from most really. And while it's outside of their control to a large degree, a little bit more coverage in terms of addressing that risk is probably something that could be considered. Strategic plans generally served as the framework in which organisations presented the year, and that's a really, really great way to do it. But we would like to see more consistent use of KPIs, multi-year trends, charts and tables to frame that narrative and maybe to break it up a little bit more. The standards of governance really did come to the fore. We loved to see the impact of board reviews being shared with the reader. Risk management was addressed, I think, like Bill said, in a very innovative and insightful way, not just through policy, but by also reporting on the actions that were being taken to address those risks. While we're possibly a little bit overcritical at times, greater consistency in relation to defining the role and purpose of the board, decision-making, addressing experience and knowledge gaps, succession planning, and some of those very interesting board evaluations would be beneficial. We did pick a winner. It was very, very close, and really all of the entrants are to be commended. But the winning report was laid out in a crisp and clear fashion, with really purposeful infographics, videos and hyperlinks, as well as a style of writing that was engaging throughout, we were left in no doubt as to their mission, vision and values, and the report tied back to these consistently. Good storytelling balanced the head and the heart, while the inclusion of impactful stakeholder stories from service users to volunteers to directors added an extra dimension. KPIs and year-on-year trends were used and very helpful, and the organisation wasn't afraid to draw attention not only to its successes but also to its challenges and risks. On that point, risk management was dealt with really well, and the inclusion of both risk management roles and responsibilities as well as risk mitigation pointed to the creation of a strong culture in this regard. We got a real sense of the board, its members, how it functioned, and the sharing of the details of a board review was very insightful. It was an excellent annual report amongst four other excellent annual reports, but we did pick a winner, and I'm delighted to announce that the winner of this year's Category 6 is Jigsaw.
We're now into the biggest ones. These four organisations have total income of around 600 million. So you will be shocked to hear the reports are all brilliant. So were we as judges, because we had to choose between them. And I think when we did that, we kind of looked at three things. Other things came through. One was this question of the purpose and the vision of the organisation and how much you could see that the organisation walked the talk on it. And this really is, you've got to realise, is we are dealing with the report. And you may argue, you know, so that's based, and I think that's, I suppose, what we are is coming as stakeholders. And I think, as Donica mentioned, when they arrive and, you know, they're all 100 pages plus or so or whatever, there's an initial shock, but then there is a real enjoyment and appreciation of them. Now, so that you're all going to read them, I'm going to be very brief, so you'll have to go and read them yourselves. But the kind of the three criteria that we looked at in particular were the sort of the clarity of the purpose, the approach to risk management, and the financials of them. Now, eagle-eyed attenders at the Governance Awards ceremony will recognise three of these as regular contestants in this level. And what I think what is really striking is the new arrival, the Irish Red Cross. The Irish Red Cross's income in 2022 was seven times the size of its income in 2021. And that just kind of accentuates what is the case for all these charities. They all saw a big increase in income last year. And, of course, that's what, to some extent, like my background is partly in investment management, and you talk about year on year, but it's kind of different in these non-profit organisations, because the reason, for example, why the Red Cross had such a high income is to do with Ukraine and the fallout and how the Red Cross was a tremendous conduit for Irish people to show their support for those who suffered so much out of the Ukrainian fallout. So again, there's a combination of looking at whether the organisation has a clear North Star, but is also, as I mix my metaphors, is ready for the tsunami. And so, you know, while the Ukraine and the Red Cross is an extreme example, we see it with the other organisations. And most of, obviously, of the resources of these organisations goes overseas into the areas of conflict that are suffering most from climate change and other major inequalities. Now, the good thing about, from my point of view about this is having my three judges with me. I was just there to make sure that they turned up. And so I mentioned the financials, and two of the judges have PhD in finance. The third one, I suspect he has one, but he has so many other qualifications, he probably can't fit on his business card. So, in fact, they were, of course, Niall Fitzgerald, Sean O'Reilly, and Louise Gorman. So when we got into the financials, I held my breath. And when they said they were good, that was good enough for me. You know? So in terms of the kind of the strengths, and there were many strengths in these organizations, you know, in terms of looking at the overview of the introduction to the report, and you know that part of the report, if you're not a judge, is sometimes the only part you read, you know, the first 10 or 15 pages. And that really has to grip you. And all were very strong in this area. You certainly would get great sort of satisfaction out of reading, for example, the introduction in the goal report, where it sets out its goals, objectives, combines visuals, mixes colours, and then you follow it through and it is consistent right through the report. Another great strength was, as I mentioned, was the financials. But risk management is again an area, and it's probably a tribute to Dermot Roisin, and I think what we would call Dr. Stronglove. There's a Bob Semple behind all this. And it kind of, this computerization, brought out how important risk management is. Because let's be honest, isn't that what it's about? Is that these organizations are faced with a very complex risk match. And that's no excuse for not doing something about it. And they all rise to that. To varying degrees. Another area that was very important, and again, like while the rise in income of the Red Cross was extreme, the average rise in income for the four organisations here over the last 2021 to 2022 was about 25%. So you're talking about dramatic. So where did the money come from? Read on. It's all there, and it really is fascinating how, you know, these organisations who from to the outside might look relatively similar have really significantly different sources of income and obviously significant risks in terms of their income, in terms of the sustainability and that whatever. So that was very well done. And then I thought a final important strength is it is about people. Now, we talk about the impact, but I think what was very important, and these reports brought out the role of the staff and the volunteers. And, you know, again, just a specific example as a taster, if you were to open the concern report, you will see they have done a special people survey. They have percentages of how many people would want to work with Concern, how many people would recommend other people to work with Concern, and a kind of a real commitment to diversity and inclusion. And I think sometimes we often forget that, and it's what these reports did very well from our perspective was they gave the big picture, but they also brought it home so you could feel it yourself, and it was very personal. So in terms of identifying a winner, I mentioned three things at the beginning. I mentioned financials, but I've told you now I'm putting that to one side based on the extreme expertise of my three fellow judges that the financials were good. The other one is a question of how clearly sort of the values and purpose of the organisation are embedded through the activities. And this is something that when I come to the winning category, this was an important one, how they brought out their values. And also another very important issue was how risk was defined. And a very important part, of course, of risk management is risk appetite. How much risk are you prepared to take? And the answer is, it depends. So in terms of the key values of the organisation, and here I would recommend you read the Trocar report. They talk about, in terms of their values concerned with social justice, they have a high risk appetite. And that is a risky world because we can see the way the civic space has been depressed, to see the way NGOs are often being muted and being repressed in these difficult areas. And so to read from Trocra how they still have a high risk appetite where there's social justice involved. While on the other hand, in terms of something like fraud or in terms of code of conduct, a very low risk appetite. So again, I think it's very informative, as I've previously worked with smaller organisations, how larger organisations have drilled down and brought this level of understanding and insight into it. So the winner we picked, really partly for the kind of the reasons in terms of the display of values and what risk appetite really means, and who has a strategy to be a credible and effective force for bringing about lasting change in the world, is Trocara.
Just a few final words. I want to thank my own board, and who have been supportive of the idea of the Good Governance Award from the very beginning, and the Carmichael staff. But also, as I think you saw tonight, the reflection of the quality and work that goes into picking the winners, the quality and the seriousness that the judges, the technical assessors, the assessors put into this process is phenomenal. And really, really, I want to thank all those that were involved in, and those, that feedback will be going out to the winners, the shortlisted, and every entrant. So thank you again for all your time, your commitment, and your professionalism in, and the sort of attention to detail that you do. So it's great to see, as I said, the war is going from strength to strength. We do have a thing on Category 1 that will be a focus for 2020-24 to see can we encourage more to get involved in the awards process, and I would ask people here to help with, in that process, because it is important that those of smaller organisations do get the help that they need to help them to produce good quality reports, to tell their stories, show their impact. So, you know, that will be one of our strategic focuses for next year, is to try and build on that. So that said, all our supporters, our partners, and thank you for coming, because it was a challenging night, I hear, from traffic and rain. So thank you for coming to making this a wonderful occasion, and slán go fóill. Thank you for listening to our latest Carmichael Governance Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, it would be of great benefit to us if you could give it a rating, as that helps to create greater awareness of these podcasts. So until the next time, slán go fóill.